And I hope even if you are experiencing the earthly refuges and the earthly strengths that we have giving way, you're still finding His hope to be with you and to bless you and to sustain you. And that's really what we want to talk about today, this idea of being strengthened by hope. Kind of back up just a tiny bit to where we were when we started this. Last week, before our critical national elections that took place, we were focused in on that, and there's so many people with all the wars going on around the world, especially in Ukraine and other struggles, people wondering, you know, are we closer to the end times? Seems like the world's more evil than it was when I was younger. And that's sort of on the, you know, the larger global scale. Sometimes, though, I think things happen in our lives on a more personal level that make us kind of wonder about the future. This past week, I injured myself. And as I was struggling to kind of overcome that injury and the soreness and everything else, I did what almost all of us would do, make a doctor's appointment, try to figure out what to do next. But I had the nagging little voice in my head asking, what if it isn't going to get any better? What if that shoulder's not going to work any better? What if the treatments that I'm getting are not, or the doctor's saying you're just not going to get any better than you are right now? What if it isn't going to get any better? This question, I think, is very real. And here at this Veterans Day week, I'm reminded of a veteran that I met when I was serving as hospital chaplain. And here was kind of his scenario. He said, you know, he described all of his injuries, which I won't go into the whole realm of it, but the sense was he lived with constant pain. And he said, I have two choices. I either stay upstairs in my bed, all drugged out so I don't feel any pain, or, you know, I come down here and I try to be with my kids and engage with them without the pain medicine, but I'm worried I'm going to be like this monster because the pain makes me so on edge and just easily, you know, bothered by anything. And kids are going to be kids. How do I get through a situation like that? Those of you that know a little bit about me, I tend to look at the glass half full side of things. I tend, thanks to our faith in Christ, to think somehow, some way, there's a way over it, through it, around it, underneath it, whatever it is, and believe in that. He was essentially describing a hopeless situation. He said, my last hope is this surgery. They're going to try to block some of these nerves so I don't feel this pain anymore. If it doesn't work, I don't know what I will do. If you've been in that situation, if you've faced that darkness, you even heard in the psalm some of those distresses, look on my afflictions and my distress. See how numerous are the enemies or the obstacles, the struggles that I face. Lord, I need you. I'm going through a dark, hard time. Now, maybe we're saying, oh, Pastor, you're missing it, all right? We already won the World Series. Inflation's on its way down. You know, we're doing okay. Everything's all right. There probably isn't going to be a recession, you know, and all that stuff. Fine. If you personally are in that place of hopeful and optimism, great. Then maybe this message, these next few minutes, will be something to file away for the future. Or maybe there's something for you to share with someone who is in one of those dark, distressing, hard times, and they're wondering, is it going to get any better? Is my health going to get any better? Is our marriage, which seems to be, you know, struggling, going to get any better? Is my relationship with this child that it feels so strained and tenuous, is it going to get any better? And what do we do when the answer is no? What do we do when medicine reaches its limits? When the marriage seems to have reached its limits, there seems to be nothing else to do, and it's not going to get better. And I think that's the situation that Abraham found himself in. He's, as it's said there in that verse, okay, he had to face the facts. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. In other words, God made him a promise almost 25 years earlier. It hasn't been kept yet. And Abraham faces that fact. Sometimes I think we just sort of hide. Like I bring out those over, under, through, alongside, whatever, to get through it kind of things. We slap on a platitude. Oh, we just need to pray harder. We just need, you know, we just need to believe more. But I think the Bible is actually inviting us to be realistic. Sometimes we have to face the facts. We face the facts. And as we face those, our situation might be like Abraham's. It's not going to get better in any natural, earthly way. Doctors say that's all we can do. There's nothing more. All we can do is help them be comfortable. Help you be comfortable. What do we do in those situations? I think it's wise for us to face the facts and yet also to have this hope. You know, this the Bible, I think, I'm pushing wrong buttons. Let's see if I got the right one there. Yes, from Ecclesiastes. This sort of cynical view when we face the facts is one option. We can have the view of the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, in sort of his curmudgeon-y moment as he wrote this. What's been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. They tell you that it's over, it's over. And yet, we as Christians believe that that's not the end. When Mary and Martha faced the death of their brother, even as they came and said to him, Lord, we really wish you would have come, because if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. But there they are facing the facts, yet with something else. Facing the facts also with faith. Facing the facts with hope. I know even now, Martha says, that the Lord will do anything you ask. Abraham faced the facts that his body was as good as dead. And maybe, just maybe, we can realize here that one of the things about our faith is we believe there's something beyond this earthly plane. We believe there's something beyond what anything on this earth can ever solve or do. Or another way to say that is, Jesus says, I make all things new. He's the one who said to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection, and I am, and he says life, but I think we can easily say, I am new life, I am true, eternal life. There's something new and different. Even though the writer of Ecclesiastes says, it's, you know, there's nothing new, Jesus stands boldly and says, yes, there is new. There is the opportunity for a renewal. There is an opportunity for newer or eternal life that's beyond what this earthly realm is. And because of Jesus, we can have hope that things will work out, that it will work out, whatever it is. Now, I don't mean to say that in a dismissive way to go, oh, you know, I'm sorry you're in pain right now. I'm sorry you're grieving right now. But you know what? It'll all work out in the end. It can sound very, very trite, and I don't want those words on the screens to come across in that way. What we're saying, I think, is the boldest possible hope of all. That like Abraham, facing the facts that his body is as good as dead at 100 years old, and his wife at 90 years old is well past the time when children are supposed to get born, that we can have this rock-bottom faith in God, have this hope in him. Because things, even if they don't work out in this life, he does work them out in the life to come. A doctor once said it to a family who they had to say there's nothing left to do. He said, here, medicine has its limits. We can only do so much. We all pray and we ask for a cure, but sometimes the miracle God gives, the cure that God gives, is in the life to come. And that may be the answer for some of us. That may be exactly what takes place. It may just be that we realize that an all-powerful God who loves us and promises has the power to bring us through these worst of times. Like Lazarus, even though he died, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me actually never dies. Our heartbeat stops here and we take our first breath in eternity. Jesus, the Lord God, our all-powerful God, loves us and helps us through these tough times. And whether they are, again, on a global scale of whatever's going on with nations or famines, earthquakes, whether they're on a national scale of where things are as far as this party or that party or whatever crisis we may face as a country or a state or a city, or even very, very personally just within your own family, whatever the crisis is, we can have hope that God will do what he promised. Lazarus in this story, beyond this, we'll look at it further in the Bible class, is raised from the dead. But there is also the raising of hopes for every single one of us in what Jesus said, where he said, whoever lives and believes in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. There is still a life stronger than any force on this earth. A life he offers to you and me as we cling to him in hope. Abraham believed that. And Abraham, in essence, here's, I love how Romans 4 puts this. He was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. That's a big question for each of us today, isn't it? With the losses we've had or the dead ends we seem to face, can we be fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he promised? Can we be fully persuaded that he has eternal life in his hands and he shares it? Can we be fully persuaded that it works all things out for good? Not that everything that happens is good, but somehow, some way, his goodness and mercy come to us every single day, even on those hardest, darkest days. Can we be fully persuaded that God's not done with us yet? That he will bring the true you to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he decides that will be. I think as you heard in the psalm, it talked about a darkness that was there, a difficulty, a challenge in the times that we have. You see the days that Lazarus was in the tomb, and you and I face dark times. It's just the truth. God's realistic about it, and I'm so grateful he is. But you know what else is in the darkest nights? Stars. In fact, I think we all know the stars are always there, aren't they? They're always shining. We just only notice them in the dark. We only notice their light and can guide a ship around the globe based on the light of those stars and the patterns that are there. The assurance that God has the power to do what he promised is like the stars that we only notice in the darkest night. Trust him. Trust in that God who gives those. And trust also, even whether we are going through a darkness of anxiety or depression or difficulty, that God says even that darkness is not too dark for him. As it says in Psalm 119, verse 11 and 12, even darkness is like daylight to him. Whatever we're going through, whatever uncertainty, we can be fully persuaded, we can be absolutely certain that God's not going to let anything snatch you out of his hand. God's not going to let anything separate you from his love. God will come through and does give life eternal. Let's cling to that. Let's cling to him together. And let's even in our darkest nights notice the stars and remember that God is good. Let's be persuaded he keeps his promises and hold on to him. Strengthened in the hope he gives. To God's glory, may it be so in your life, in your family, in us all. Amen.